everyone, and welcome to Lid Radio Podcast. So today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're hearing from Giles Watkins. Now, Giles is a mentor and coach with both Abakin and Vistage. He has over 30 years of global business and general management experience. He enables decision makers to solve problems, achieve balance, deliver superior results, and sleep better at night. And on that topic, sleep is what we're talking about today. So Giles will be talking to us about how to maintain a healthy sleep culture. So now some facts. Approximately 1.5 million people in the UK suffer from sleep disorders, but many will not have been formally diagnosed. And it's no different in lockdown. The Independent recently published that people are getting more sleep, but of worse quality. Research found that the average adult would sleep for 6 hours and 43 minutes typically on a weekday prior to lockdown. But since morning tasks such as commuting or taking the children to school has been suspended, the average adult is now getting around an hour of extra sleep each week, so just over 7 hours on a weeknight. Of those surveyed, 13% were regularly exceeding their recommended 8 hours, up from just 7% before lockdown. Despite this, nearly 1 in 4 have admitted that the quality of sleep was worse than ever. So to talk more about how to get your sleep back on track, I'd like to head over to Giles.
Why keeping a positive attitude to sleep matters. Airways and social media platforms are currently flooded with free advice about how to manage ourselves in these difficult times of lockdown. For those of us who have mercifully not shown any signs of having COVID-19, there have been an especially rich vein of suggestions as to what we might do with the extra time that either not commuting to or being furloughed from work may bring us. Yet in between the prompts to learn Spanish and keep fit, there is rarely a reference to sleep, except to tell us that it matters, which most of us already knew. And it matters especially for our mental health. So with this being Mental Health Awareness Week in the UK, it feels like a great time to reflect on why sleep matters even more in this pandemic, how COVID-19 is affecting our sleep habits, and what we can do about it. Whilst the definitive answer of why we sleep still lacks an absolute consensus, it is widely accepted that sleep is the foundation of both a strong immune system and psychological resilience. Indeed, more sleep can proactively strengthen our immunities plus build healthy habits that will really help us transition successfully into the post-lockdown world. And we can also feel more empowered and less anxious by focusing on what we can control ourselves, for example, how much and when we sleep, plus what we can influence, the sleep of those we interact with regularly, rather than what we cannot control, such as our government's lockdown policies or the state of the economy. Studies show that chronic sleep shortages close down functions that help our immune response. Sleep is also a vital resource to help our immune system recover. So whether you know that you've had the dreaded virus, or you simply want to do everything possible to boost your immune system in case you come into contact with it, sleep is a key free resource for you to enhance your physical immunity. And from a mental health standpoint, more good quality sleep will definitely help your mood and memory. It also boosts our problem-solving ability through simply being able to think straight, as well as feeling more inclined to seek different perspectives when well rested, which often helps us work out how to fix a problem. Additionally, sleep loss may cause social withdrawal and loneliness is the self-explanatory title of a piece of research from Etty Ben Simon and Matthew Walker. Their study noted that even 60 seconds in dialogue with someone who is clearly short of sleep can leave you feeling more lonely yourself. So what is actually happening to our sleep at present? Is there any hard data to show whether we are sleeping more or less? Two studies that have been published in the last month show a divergent picture. Fitbit published an article in April based on data gathered in the second half of March in both the US and in Europe. In the US, the Fitbit data saw a state-by-state increase in sleep ranging from an increase of up to 25 minutes to a reduction of 5 minutes per night. Similarly, the data from the cities of Zurich, London, Barcelona, Madrid, Milan and Paris in Europe showed Fitbit users sleeping an average of 13 to 25 minutes more per night. However, the Sleep Council in the UK, along with its partners the Sleep Charity and Sleep Station, published a study at the end of April showing a different trend. Here it appears that almost half the respondents now find it harder to fall asleep since lockdown began, and three quarters admitted that a lack of sleep was interfering with their ability to function during the day. Results from Italy indicate something similar. This difference may partially be explained by the sampling being done later than the Fitbit study, as people may have become increasingly anxious or stressed through being more isolated as the lockdown has continued. However, this seems only a partial explanation. In my recent dialogue with Dr. Liz Coulthard, Associate Professor of Dementia Neurology at the University of Bristol, she confirmed a similar trend in recent yet to be published research of the over 60s that she has been leading. Liz told me, preliminary results suggest an overall negative impact of COVID-19 on sleep. But some people are definitely sleeping better now. We're still trying to work out who and why. So whilst the overall picture seems mixed, it's safe to assume that at least a significant number of people are sleeping worse in recent months since the beginning of the pandemic. And if that applies to you, a loved one or a colleague, what can you actually do about it? From a synthesis of my own research and personal experience, here are five ways to ensure you give yourself the best chance to sleep. Number one, bookending your night, a term I coined in my book Positive Sleep, to provide some easy to follow guidelines to let the old day out, sleep and stay asleep, and let the new day in. Letting the old day out gives you the opportunity to declutter your mind by disconnecting from your work and electronic devices 60 to 90 minutes before sleeping. I also find sipping a cup of chamomile tea a great way of unwinding before bed. Mindfulness techniques can then help you get back to sleep when you wake up in the middle of the night. And meditation, an early morning exercise routine, or even just enjoying a cup of tea in the garden, it's a great way to start the day before re-engaging with work and your electronic devices. Number two, for me, the disconnection from laptops, smartphones and tablets, whilst part of number one, is so crucial as to be worth re-emphasising separately. Daniela Siné, a writer at Thrive Global, puts it very eloquently when she urges us to set a news cut-off time at the end of the day and, before you get into bed, escort your devices out of your bedroom. And I'd go even further than that. Leave all those electronic tools in another room 60 to 90 minutes before you want to sleep. This is the safest way. We associate these tools with stress and anxiety and as carriers of news of the pandemic or work issues. So it's best to banish them from the bedroom completely and only pick them up in the morning when you are truly ready to properly re-engage. Number three, how well you manage your diet and exercise in this period of lockdown will make a big difference to how we manage our transition to whatever the new normal looks like. Caffeine consumption in particular needs watching, as it blocks out adenosine, the chemical that accumulates in our brain as sleep pressure builds. Eliminating any coffee, tea, and sports drink intake after 12 noon, plus seeing how you can cut down from there, is a great start. There is a consensus amongst writers on sleep that commends regular bedtimes as a cornerstone for reducing insomnia, both at night and for waking up in the morning. This is something many of us advocate for our own kids and see the benefits of. So why do we not follow it ourselves? And finally, number five, sleep hygiene. Creating the right environment for sleep, a room at the right temperature, a high-quality mattress in good condition, and blackout blinds and curtains is a great start and gives you the best chance of sleeping well. Personally, I find a weighted blanket helps a lot, especially if you wake in the night. And the use of oils and salts in the bath can really set you up for a much more relaxed night via the absorption of magnesium and other minerals through the skin. I find Olverum bath oil an exceptionally good product for this. And for those who'd like to take the challenge of improving their sleep even more seriously, I'm offering 6 complimentary spaces on my bespoke 30-day sleep program that will start this June. Please message me via LinkedIn if you are interested.
Thank you so much, Giles. And yes, for those who are interested in the 30-day trial, we'll include a hyperlink to Giles's LinkedIn so you can all access it in the show notes. Do keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing, where we'll be sharing more expert opinions and inside knowledge from people like Giles. Take care, and we'll see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.